Hi guys, welcome to the podcast, Dear Single Men. This podcast is hosted by Taye Maddox, and here's what he has to tell you.
Hi guys, welcome to the podcast, Dear Single Men, with Taye Maddox. I'm your host, and of course, it gives me great pleasure to always do this with you. And the goal of this podcast is to ensure that, you know, quite a number of single men turn out to become older men. My goal as well is to change the definition of masculinity, manhood, and of course the traditional conceptions about who a man should be, what a man should be. So if you're just a first timer on this podcast, that's what I would like you to know. And of course, if you're a guy, single guy especially, yes, you are welcome to this space where we talk about everything men. Of course, it's going to be a very good episode today on the podcast. And I have someone here with me who we're going to be doing this together, and I'm going to introduce him in a bit. And I just want to do something for me, guys. I want to just pay attention to everything we're going to be sharing with you today. Now, Nat Wajayi, who helps brand promote their products and services, and is also a glad to have you on the podcast. Thanks for agreeing to do this with me. Good evening, Matt.
It's a pleasure. And good evening, Taye.
Yeah. Now, I know for you listeners, it might surprise you that I'm bringing a guy for the first time on this podcast. Of course, I made an intention that there are some conversations we're going to be having where we have to, you know, bring on, you know, guys so that we could have a balance of opinion. And of course, variety of, you know, opinions as well. Yeah, and Nat, our first interaction was on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Twitter.
And the reason why I decided to reach out to you was because of one of your tweets on the 20th of April. It was a pinned tweet, and you know, you, I don't know if you can remember, but you might want to, you know, take a peep at your page and look at that. But I'm sure you remember, right?
Yeah, I remember the tweet. I remember the tweet about, okay. It was something about society's standard for raising men.
Okay. All right. So that's where we are going to start this conversation today. All right. So now, from that tweet, you highlighted a lot of things that one of them was for many men, why growing up, the standard was very low for us. Why for the female child, the standard was set high for them. So now, let's look at this in a moment and look at how this situation has, you know, affected, you know, the upbringing and the quality and the kind of men that we have in our world today.
All right. So we're concerning the, let me call it double standards, the way men are raised and women are raised. I'll call it double standards considering the fact that we probably have men and women, or boys and girls rather, children, male and female, in the same house, raised by the same parents, but they're not raised based on the same standards. I also want the listeners to understand that this is not a, how would I say, this is not an indictment on men or parents. Okay. It's just basically to highlight some of the issues that need to be addressed. Not to say that children are not raised properly, but to say that there's room for improvement, especially in the way boys are raised. Yeah. Yes. So, and yes, the situation may also vary from family to family. It's not necessarily the same across all families, but it gives you a broad picture of what society considers. So in this sense, society is not one person. Society is a collection of, in this sense, a collection of the general perspective as to how boys and girls should be raised. That's the context of this conversation. So for girls, typically a girl is born, she's a girl, high dreams, high aspirations from the parents. So as she starts to grow, the parents naturally would pull the daughter, the girl child, towards things that involve nurturing, domestic work.
To make them well behaved.
Yes, to make them well behaved, constantly cautioning the girl, that's not how to sit, that's not how to play, you're the girl child, don't raise legs, don't play with boys, don't do this, don't do that. So there are many restrictions for girls. So their upbringing is very regimented. They have strict rules, do's and don'ts. So the girl child, as she starts to grow, soon she starts to learn to wash, then she starts to learn to cook, even before she's legally or allowed, let me not say legally, before she's officially allowed to cook, she's at least brought close to the kitchen to see what it's like to cook and all that. And then you notice that the girl child, they start to gravitate towards playing with sand and things like that because they see their parents, their mothers cook. So they understand that society expects certain things from them and they start to act that role because that's what they see.
So that sorry to coach, there are even toys, you know, for girls to play with in America. Go on.
Yeah, tea parties, tea sets, kitchen sets, all those things. Yeah, so that's pretty much, you know, the girl child's life structured and laid out. Whereas for the boy child, basic grow. Yes, he's born. His parents have high aspirations. He's going to be a great man. You know, great dreams and everything. And then typically the boy child is not necessarily giving that strict regimen. He's just basically taught that there are certain things expected of him. Number one, you shall not disgrace this family. You have to live up to expectation. You are the son of your father. So if your father, for example, is a popular man in society, they expect that you grow to also be popular. If your father is rich, they expect that you grow to be rich. If your father is not so rich, they expect that you would rise up to the occasion and probably uplift your family out of poverty. That's basically, you know, the role of the male child lined out. So as they start to grow, you see that the male child is not really strictly confined to any set of rules. It depends on the family, but for most families, the worst that will happen to a male child is they don't want him playing football with certain boys in the area because they don't want him to get involved in, you know, gang and all that stuff that boys do, or get involved in smoking and drinking. That's basically it. Stay away from these boys because we don't want you playing football because we don't want you getting corrupted by them. But
all right, go on. I can hear. Go on, please. Go on.
Yes. So 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 I was saying the guy pretty much has, you know, everything laid out for him. Just do not disgrace. But there's not much that comes into that that's within, you know, the sphere of character development and how would I say, other things beyond the other, you know, basic upbringing. So when I say basic upbringing, go to school, get an education, be a good person. No real character development. While the girl child gets extra tutoring and training, become a housekeeper, what do you call it? A homemaker. The guy, on the other hand, is basically just still doing his schoolwork. So he's not really responsible for much. Just behave well, go to school, get the education. And then as he starts to grow, and like I said earlier, he's allowed to do as much as he likes, have friends and all that, except for certain people. They say, don't mix with these people because we have issues with them. The girl child, on the other hand, has restricted mingling. A lot of girls tell you that growing up, they were not even allowed to mix with certain girls. And they were not allowed to mix with boys.
They even tell girls, they even tell the girl child that if you move close to the young man, you get pregnant. And so, you know, all of these fears are created in the female child all along, you know, on how to behave and how to interact with the opposite sex. I get that.
So that just goes to buttress the point that there are so many rules and regulations, do's and don'ts concerning raising a female child that men don't typically have. Nobody's going to tell a man that if you touch a girl on her shoulder, she's getting pregnant and all that. It doesn't really happen for guys. You get it. So our upbringing is pretty much straightforward for guys, but for women, it's kind of complicated. Certain rules, do's and don'ts. So as we start to progress in life, we realize that naturally, the female child, the girl child is wired to be somewhat more responsible because at some point, she now starts to be an assistant mommy. She starts to make sure the house is clean. She starts to make sure there's food. She's when her mom is not around, she's cooking.
He's
Even when her
cooking.
mom is cooking, she's helping out. So she starts to get a sense of responsibility earlier in life, as opposed to the male child who pretty much would just come back, watch TV, play, and do whatever he likes mostly. And the unfortunate thing is that this is also supported by women, because a lot of women will send the boy child out of the kitchen. They'll be like, men are not supposed to be in the kitchen. Men are not supposed to do certain things. What are you doing here? Men don't open pots. Men don't do this. Men don't do that. So the boy child basically is just raised like that. And then the problem now is that when the boy child has gone through most of his education and now becomes a full-grown adult, responsibility comes upon him suddenly. Suddenly, you realize that you have to start looking out for other people.
Other
Suddenly,
people,
you realize that you're responsible for other people's well-being, or at least you contribute to their well-being. Suddenly, you realize people are looking up to you. But the girl child, she typically grew up knowing that if she doesn't wash, some people's clothes will not be clean, some bed sheets will not be clean. If she doesn't cook, some people will not eat on time, or they will not eat at all on a certain time of day. So yeah, and then even the whole concept of waking up early to prepare for school and prepare food and help mom out. And if most likely the woman is doing business, for example, if she owns a shop or if she owns a restaurant, the girl child is engaged early on in life. You get it only if it's only in some cases that the boy child is engaged when the father is an entrepreneur. Typically, if the father does white collar jobs in the office, they engaged in any
But I don't have
early
much
for
time.
any reason. Why is he waking up early? But regardless of the mother's occupation, whether she's full-time housewife, whether she works in the office or she has a business, she's
The
yes, the girl is
girl
engaged in waking up early and preparing. And so that creates a wide gap in the way boys and girls are raised typically in Nigerian society.
things along the way. Thank you very much for clearly highlighting some of these foundational issues that we have as regards raising boys and raising girls. And if you look at it, how boys have been raised traditionally in this part of the world is what has contributed to a whole lot of things. And how the female child has been raised in this part of the world has also led to, a point where the female gender is crying out for liberty. We've seen feminism, we've seen feminists rise out of this woman because, for a long time, their voices have been suppressed. They feel cheated and, maltreated. And, this is why, they are amplifying the voice for children, for the female child to be, to also have access to some of the benefits that that is accorded the male child. All right. And, these are the two contrasting things that has affected our world today. And that is why there's a lot of imbalance. There's a lot of, fight for, liberty and all of that. Now, meanwhile, you'll agree with me that how boys have also been raised has also made us escape some realities, which is the responsibility you talked about. For most men, for young boys, most of us never saw our dad cry. We never see, whenever our dads and our friends have discussions, we never see them have these real conversations. It's usually always about business. It's usually always about, the things that they just catch fun with. That's how the things that some of us see while growing up, the kind of men that we see, all right, and the kind of conversations that they have. Now, there's also a traditional conception as well about men that you are a boy, you don't have to cry, you know, and all of these other things. Now, we've seen a lot of guys, as a result of this, fall into depression, have mental health issues, and so many young boys at this point in time don't even know how to become men. And we can link this down to, you know, the traditional way men have been brought up. You know, when the guy is crying, you know, the mother tells him, "Why are you crying? You're a guy now." You get the point. Now, my real concern here is this: how can we help, you know, young men who are transiting into manhood, right? And how can we help them to appreciate their masculinity? How can we tell them that, hey, it's okay to cry, it's okay to have emotions, it's okay not to have everything figured out, it's okay to be under pressure, it's okay when you feel overwhelmed, it's okay when you are going through something and you would like to see the therapist? You know, I feel that these are the kind of conversations that men ought to be having, and not about just business and, you know, the toys, the big cars, and all the blings that you have. You get the point. So I'd really like us here to help a lot of young men who are, you know, transiting into manhood. And of course, the foundational and traditional conceptions about manhood, we have to break it. And I feel that there are some things that we could share here together that would help young men. So I'd like to bring you up on this.
Okay. Well, I think I would like to address what you described as toxic masculinity, where people feel that a man should be a certain way, but it's not. It eventually puts the man in a position that is not good for him physically, mentally. It's generally unhealthy for a man to be put in that position where they have to play a part, where they have to keep face, they have to maintain a certain standard that's set by society. First of all, men also, and science and scientific research has proven that men also go through extreme emotions. So you see extreme emotions of anger, extreme emotions of confusion, extreme emotions of happiness. Men also go through these extremes. However, biologically, men are not wired. We're not very expressive. We're not wired to be very expressive, regardless of the fact that we still have the same emotions as intensely as women do. So, because of this biological wiring that we have, we have now built around it and made it a standard that because we typically are not in a position to share and express emotion, then it means that this is what we should do, meaning that we should further suppress it, which is not reasonable. Because I mean, look at depression, mental health issues, and people coming down with high blood pressure. All these issues are on the rise because men are not supposed to show weakness, in quotes. Then, you know, people also say seeking help is a sign of weakness. I believe that seeking help is a sign of strength. When people go through issues that are overwhelming, I feel that they should seek help. You should seek help, guidance. You should seek mentorship. It's not even only when there's a problem. You should also seek mentorship when the going is good, to get direction, to get clarity on certain issues. Because I mean, once you leave school, most guys who have been through NYC will understand that there's a certain level of confusion and lack of clarity in the last few weeks of NYSE. The whole question of what next? Where do we go from here? It becomes a big question. So at that point in time, we're just left, most guys are just left to navigate the world on their own. Joshua did here. And then your closest port of call is your fellow guy who is just as confused, if not more confused. You get so you guys sit around and basically share your confusion with no real solution or no way forward. but this is where sharing and mentorship comes in. There are people who have gone ahead, have seen things that you have not seen. They have the privilege of seeing the big picture that can give you guys a direction. So what they teach you in school may not necessarily apply the way in, you know, it may not necessarily be the way things work in real life, may not necessarily apply exactly the same way. So yeah, people who come to you during NYC, secondary school and all that, university, they tell you, oh, this is how to structure a CV. But the truth is, the way you structure a CV is constantly changing. So the question, would you take
Changing.
what you learned 5 years ago and put it in a CV and try to make it work in 2020? So that's where guidance from somebody who has gone ahead. That's where you have to share. That's where you have to interact with people who have gone ahead. And men typically are not led to do this. Men would typically ask you for a job or ask you for money for business, or they would typically not ask you for the way if the way is not to money. And
And that's
but
true.
women would rather, but women, I've noticed this in my interaction with women. Women who are out to actually help other women take their time to teach women the basics. Women are more when it comes to teaching. They usually will teach the women the basics. They will tell you, oh, this is what happens when you're trying to get a job. These are the challenges when you start a new job. This is how to deal with your colleagues. This is how to deal with your bosses. This is how to deal with sexual harassment. Men, nobody really goes through all of that with men. Even fellow men, you ask them, they typically just say, is this TV? Oh, sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said men will say now go do him now. Now
So,
go do just
in summary, now
do.
go drum. So, it's men need to learn to speak up. You need to learn, even if we are not typically allowed, or we are not typically wired to have that conversation the way women do, heart to heart. We should be open to mentorship. We should be open to stewardship. So, if instead of asking somebody, oh, give me money to do business when you know he cannot give you the money, or give me a job when he doesn't feel that you are competent enough to handle the position, how about internship? How about worship? Okay, let me be coming and be working under you for a couple of months or a couple of weeks. You learn a lot that way than being handed a position that you're typically not ready for. And then there's also, as much as women are taught to deal with sexual harassment, office politics, it also affects men, because men get into institution with female superiors and there's also sexual harassment, but nobody talks about it. And nobody prepares you as a guy that how do you handle it when a superior starts to hit on you?
I feel that society just expects men to only be able to solve their problems. Like if you're a man and you are faced with this problem, you should be able to solve it. You should be able to find a solution to it. And more than often, the society doesn't really prepare young boys. I mean, men to face some challenges that they will encounter in the future. You get what I'm saying? Like the example that you just cited, it is true that men go through this thing, a lot of abuse here and there. Young boys go through a lot of abuse, but how many people even know about these things? So I get the point you're trying to make there.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, you have to be open to the fact that you don't have it as a young man, you don't have it all figured out, and you should be open to the fact that you need help and you should find a way to seek help. So, like I said earlier, a man may not necessarily walk you step by step through a process, but there are ways to actually get that process from a man by stewardship, by internship, by asking questions, and you can actually go directly to him and say, please, can you mentor me? That puts him in a position where the mentor is required or is obligated to serve and serve his mentee in terms of leading and giving information. Besides that, society basically expects you to know what you're doing and figure things out yourself.
And do you think that is fair?
Well,
It's fair.
life is not fair. That's the truth.
I know that too, but that is why we are where we are. And we keep saying life is not fair and avoiding changing the status quo. Life can be fair if we, do our bit in, challenging the status quo of how things have been to, how things could be if we, put in some systems and, have a change in mindset of how we do things, of how we think, of how these things should be done. You go, I'm
I totally
saying.
get what you're saying. Let me give you an example of how animals are raised. Like I grew up around animals, so I'll give you this example with dogs and cats. Cats are generally cleaner animals. Anybody that's kept cats will tell you cats are generally cleaner. They don't like to expose their litter. They don't like to, poop anywhere and mess up the entire place. Dogs, on the other hand, are not exactly so neat. So when you're, if you leave a dog to its vices, you will have a very messy environment. So, but because you need a clean environment, and dogs are not necessarily wired to be very clean as cats, you cannot leave the dog to his vices. You have to teach the dog to, you have to potty train the dog, basically. You have to potty train the dog to let the dog know you can't just be pooping and doing things anywhere, anyhow, anytime. So eventually, because you need a particular result, you have to train to attain that result and not expect nature to take care of it. So a lot of the issues that we have in society regarding the gender is as a result of our predominant wiring or tendencies as different genders. So yes, we say women need to have equal rights. We say women need to be treated equally. They have rights to basic education and equal pay and all that, which is true. But because of our biological wiring, men typically are domineering. And that's why over time, the society has been led more by men. And because it's biological wiring, we have a tendency in society by default for a man to become leader instead of a woman, or for a woman to be looked at as less competent in comparison to a man, which is not true. So I'm saying that regardless of this biological wiring, which has existed for God knows how long, we need to come to a place where we should know that this predominant pattern does not no longer works for us, but we should seek ways to create a balance. It's just like somebody who wants to run. You want to run and you're tying one of your legs, or you're attaching weights to one of your legs. That's how I see the human race, with legs, two genders, male and female. You cannot restrict the performance or the potential and sabotage the woman and expect the human race to make, outstanding progress and advance in leaps and bounds. You have to leverage the strengths of both genders. So that's what I see. As unfair as it is, we need to understand that we need to rewire, or we need to restructure our understanding and our execution of everyday lives in terms of how we relate with genders.
Okay. Now, I want us to take it a bit further here in our conversation, because I feel that we have to just touch this aspect. Now, we're looking at facing up to manhood and what men should expect. Now, I would like you to share a bit of how you transitioned into manhood and what actually helped you up to this stage. So many men, young men, do not have a lot of things figured out. I'm not saying I have everything figured out. I'm just, doing what I can with where I am, with what I have, where I am at this point in my life. And that's because I've been fortunate enough to have some form of guidance and mentorship, like you said. Now, so many young men do not have that privilege because, they may not have their fathers around. Maybe they grew up without their fathers, or they do not even have, or even if they have their fathers around them, maybe their fathers was not always at home. It was always working. The society says that the man should always work. You get what I'm saying? So for me, I've been privileged enough to have mentors who have helped me get to this stage that I have, and I still have these mentors who keep giving me guidance on, how to move ahead in life, and I always ask questions. Now, for young men who are still trying to figure out their lives, from your own personal experience of transitioning into manhood, what would you say are the key things that have helped you to transition into manhood? For the sake of those who are still trying to navigate their way.
First of all, I would say we are all men in transit.
Not to speak it.
And that's how I see it. I just feel that we are constantly, because this is how I see it. When you think you're on top of the food chain in a certain area, you transition into a new thing and you're at the bottom of the food chain, or you're, let me not say food chain because we are not in the jungle, but let me say rather you're at the bottom of the ladder. So Let's put it this way. Once upon a time, you were in secondary school, you were in SS2, and then the SS3 finished their work and they handed over prefectship, and suddenly the SS2 guys and the girls were in charge of the whole school. You were on top of the food chain, on top of the ladder. And then you now do your whatever, and then you go to university, polytechnic, or whatever higher education. If you decide to do apprenticeship and you decide to learn a trade, you now go and you are now at the bottom of the ladder. You're basically a fresher, a beginner. That's like a guess one again. And then you have to climb up, and then one day you get to final year, or you do freedom, or you finally graduate from whatever training, and you're now on top of the ladder. Then you now start trading, or you now get a job, or you start working, or you start business, whatever it is that you do, you now start and you are now at the bottom of the ladder again, and you start to climb. And then at some point you feel you are not stable, you want to settle down, you want to, get married and all. You find a woman and you get married to her, you're a woman, you find a man, and then you're a newlywed. You don't know anything about marriage. You're just starting an experience. And then you start to learn. And as you advance, you can advise people who are just getting married. And then you now have a first child and you don't know how to raise children. You don't even know how to take care of children. They're crying and you have no idea. So I'm just saying that it's a transition constantly. There's always a new phase, a new area to learn and conquer. So I would say first thing for men in transit. And I think this rule applies generally when you're transiting from one phase to another. You have to learn and unlearn. That is very, very important. A lot of the things that worked here do not work in the next
Over
phase.
there. Mm-hmm.
So you see that secondary school teaching and
Yeah.
assignments and all that stuff, copying notes and all that. It doesn't work in university for most
University.
people. Yeah, so you do a lot of self tutoring. You do a lot of learning on your own by reading, and all you have to do is get syllabus to guide you. So I'm saying that once you come to a transition phase, you have to be ready to learn and unlearn. You have to prepare your mind for challenges. You have to prepare because I mean there's the, everything. Every time there's a transition, there's always challenges. It's part of it. There's growing pains. There's teething problems. Even children, when they're growing teeth, have issues. So there's no way you will transition without facing issues, regardless of whatever guidance you get, whatever counseling you get, you will always encounter challenges. And how you handle those challenges will determine how you settle into the new phase. So you have to have a vision. And that's why it's good to have mentorship so people can guide you. They can give you clarity to see things that you've not yet seen. They can also share experiences so that you learn from their own experiences and their mistakes instead of learning from your own mistakes. Because, I mean, mistakes take time, take energy, they have consequences. There are many issues with making mistakes by yourself. So, first thing, if you cannot, if you have to learn and learn, and then you have to seek guidance because guidance is very, very important. And then another thing is that you have to have a vision of what you want in the next phase. Thank God for the internet. You can read up on a lot of things. You may not get the full picture, but to give you an idea of where you're transiting. So when you start to have a picture, certain it reduces the amount of shock you would face in the new phase. It will prepare you somewhat mentally for where you are heading. I know there will be surprises, but it's better to have less surprises than for the whole experience to be a daily surprise issue. You wake up every day, there's a new surprise that you can mitigate by doing a lot of reading and studying and checking, looking up on the internet. And then when you have done that, you have to create a vision what you want in that phase. You have to have a goal. I think there's a book, Seven Habits of Highly Effectual People. I think the second habit. What is this? What there's a rule that says you begin with the end in mind. And I'm not saying that the end you have in mind is cast on stone. It may change with time. You may modify it. You might completely ditch it. You might polish it a little bit, but you need to have focus, something that you're looking at. It will help you to go a long way. So you're starting business. You need to know what kind of businessman do I want to be? It's not just going into business, let's see how it goes. If it's fine, it's fine. If it's not fine, you go into business with the idea that you want to succeed. You say you want to be a good business person, and then you start to think about all the good business people you've seen who you like to mirror, and then you start to read up about them. And if you have access to some of them, you start to learn from them and all that. You get same thing with parenting, same thing with going into a new phase. You transition in your workplace from lower level staff to higher level staff. Now you have a group of people under you. You see, in the business space, for example, I'm sorry, in the workspace, let me give this example. When you're a lower level staff, what happens is that when there's an issue and they scold your boss comes to scold you, and there's nobody to scold. You get so basically it's it, but when typically when they scold you, usually would come up with excuses. Sir, I wanted to do this, but it did not work. And that's, you can get away with it as a lower level staff. But when you rise to the level of a supervisor and your boss tells you, we had this target, why wasn't it met? You cannot start giving unnecessary excuses. Even when your subordinates were the cause of the problem, you cannot start putting them on the line. You have to take responsibility at that stage and apologize. Then later go and face your subordinates who are on your team who contributed to the problem. So I'm saying that you have to learn and unlearn. So you have to have the picture, what is expected of a manager or a supervisor? How do I become a good supervisor? Is there any good supervisor I know? And then you can now learn and mirror. So it's a lot of learning or learning, and having a picture of what you want.
Okay, I would like us to demystify something now, which is this has been leading conversations on social media platforms and what have you. And one of them is men and how the men and their relationship with women. I don't know, our generation, I think it is something that has become rampant in our generation. We're talking about manhood and a lot of things as characterize what manhood is all about. Sex, finances, business, leadership, taking responsibility, taking charge, and all of those other things that is enscaped, or what am I saying, that is ingrained into manhood. Now, over time, especially on social media space, we've seen, I've seen threads. I saw a particular thread of some particular guy who slide into DMs of ladies, and the first thing he asks them after taking out their pictures is he wants to have sex with them. Now, these have, and so many other examples. Now, this has led to a lot of women coming out to say that, hey, all these guys has come. So quite a number of opposite sex have lost faith in guys. No, it's the truth. If you go on social media, you are going to see it. Now, let us demystify this. Why, what has brought us to this point in our lives as young men, where, the first thing you can think of when you want to have a conversation with a lady is, sex and send me address and all of that. I'm sure you must have seen some of those threads on Twitter. Now,
Yeah, I have.
a lot of ladies are losing faith in many young men, and they in fact, they even categorize all men together, all of them. I mean, all of us. Now, if something is done to, if one man is doing something, if one man is doing something and then it is being generalized, this is going to become a problem. Because if we do not, I talk about this, I not just talk about it, if we do not look at how we could solve this issue, and of course, looking at the kind of fathers we are going to become in the future, the kind of husbands are going to come in the future, ex in extension, the kind of sons we are going to raise, if you look at it, it's going to become a more generalized problem. So it won't be girls of today saying that all men has come, but children and girls of tomorrow saying that, oh, come on, these boys too has come. Now let us demystify this. What has happened to the quality of men that we have? We are not looking at women now, we are talking about men, because I strongly believe that if the man gets it right, yes, if the man gets it right, I believe that the society is going to be saner. Do you get? So I'd like us to demystify this. Where have we gotten it wrong? What happened to the quality of men that we have these days, such that, you know, look at what is happening around you. I mean, look at it. Just look at it. So I'd like us to demystify this and look at, you know, some of the solutions, some of the causes, and of course, what we can do moving forward. Because this matter don't tire me. I don't go lie.
The matter don't tire everybody.
Okay.
Don't tire the men, don't tire the women. Concerning this issue of where we got it wrong, I would say, first of all, that a lot of men are not, and this goes back to the way that men, the boy child is raised, typically in Nigerian society. A lot of children are not raised to respect anybody that is not their elder. So to them, respect is once the person is older than you, respect them. If they're not older than you or they're not your mates, once they're your mates or they're younger than you, then you owe them no respect whatsoever. That's typical upbringing over here. So you see this issue of respecting the other gender. It's not today started. While the girl child is raised to, that's not how to talk. Yeah, woman, don't shout, don't do this, don't do that. That's not, you should respect a man. He's a man. Don't talk. A lot of boys are not raised that way. And some of, sorry to say, but some of our fathers and our uncles, and they didn't do a very good job in setting a good example. So a lot of people will tell you they witness some form of domestic violence. So they have actually seen their mothers getting beat up. They had actually seen a total disregard for the female gender perpetrated by older male figures in their lives. So they pick up that bad example. Then let us not also forget entertainment. Entertainment has played a major role in this. Exactly. So you see, music, especially the hip hop genre, is notorious for depicting a man who has several females. Is
He has cars, and then all females are all around him. He has, you know, men.
Yeah, so that makes him a superhero. He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
All the girls want him, so he has several girls.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But women are not necessarily, they're not in any way applauded for having multiple male partners. As a matter of fact, it's looked down on, and it's more or less seen as a vice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a virtuous thing for a woman to have multiple partners,
but for guys, it's a trophy, you know.
It's a trophy. It's something to be celebrated. So when you put all of these factors together, we're not raised to respect anybody who is our mate or our juniors. We saw bad examples. Most of us, or a lot of us, let me not generalize, but a lot of us have seen a lot of, we've seen older males set bad examples. When you put all of this together, there's a tendency to follow that pattern. And so that's why some people grow up no emotional intelligence whatsoever. Your child knows that there are certain ways you talk that will annoy somebody. Mother, see, that's not how to talk. You're a woman, that's not. But nobody tells a guy how to talk. He wants to just do it. So it leads to a situation where men feel that because they have nobody to question them or to check them, they can talk anyhow they like to anybody they like, how they, especially if they're not older. And then society has also glorified money and financial status.
My God.
Meaning when you're wealthy, nobody can say anything to you. You can go to anybody anyhow.
This one, another matter entirely, but it is it is one of the problems we have too.
Exactly. So once a man now has money, he now feels he has come to a place where he's unquestionable. So he starts to talk anyhow. And if he had one wife before, he might want to get the second wife. And then the women start to complain, oh, men has come, the woman has struggled with you. Now, so you can also trace that back to the fact that a lot of men were raised to think about themselves only. A lot of guys were raised to watch TV, play ball, get the education, sleep in the night, wake up in the morning, eat food, dress up and head out. While women are taught, plus nature has also enabled them to be more on the nurturing side, to think of other people in the house. What would they eat? Is the house clean? Is the house well kept? And all that. So when you look at this disparity, you understand that as much as women have a tendency, which is given to them by nature, men also can learn, which we can do through the process of nurture. We can nurture men to start to learn that women.
That is actually my, that is one of my, that is my goal actually. Like, we can, I know a lot of people have come out to say that, you know, psychologists, scientists, and behaviorists have come out to say that, you know, this is how men have been wired. And then they try to make excuse for why we behave the way we do. And of course, we have to be able to nurture some of these things out of ourselves, because we can do it. For example, my mom would take me to the kitchen, and I learned. And I won't lie to you, I used to live with a family, and we had about four females, but I'm the one they trusted with the kitchen. Why? Because I am very good when it comes to, you know, making a place tidy. And I do it without feeling like the ladies are around, let them go and do it. It's just something that just comes naturally to me. I know that that's my feminine side. All right. I feel that men should be encouraged to nurture this feminine side. You get what I'm saying? Feminine side of, you know, being more caring, you know, being more concerned about other things aside from yourself. Like, you know, we know women folks to do very well than men. So I do not like when you know, behaviorists and, you know, psychologists and experts come out to say that this is how men are wired, and of course, you know, we are conditioned to behave in this certain way. I feel that it's an excuse that, you know, it has deceived people over time. I just know that we can be better. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally understand, and I agree with you. However, I think we should get to a place where we should not say certain things are our feminine side. I think we should normalize certain things and say that I also have strengths in this area, and it's something I can also do, not necessarily making it. Because, I mean, if we still target a feminine side, then that still puts this whole gender role issue on the table. So I think we should, it's a process, and I believe we'll get there where we believe that everybody. The way the world is going right now, I think we're starting to get to that place in Nigeria, because now we understand that most men don't want to marry women who are not working, in terms of they have no form of, they don't make any, they have no income. A lot of men want to marry now. A lot of guys are actually looking to marry somebody who also can contribute financially, because the economy these days does not favor only one partner funding the entire household. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there's so much job insecurity, so much, you know, uncertainty and everything. So when we get, as we're advancing now, we understand that both parties need to contribute. And once upon a time, it was the woman that raised the children 100%. Now the woman is not necessarily there all the time, especially if she has a job or a business that she runs. So at some point, the father would have to contribute to raising the child. It's not just the mother's job. And that also puts the father in a place where he can teach. And let's assume the man actually is a well-behaved man who is a good example to his children. Then he can actually teach the boy child how to be a man. Because a lot of men, like you said earlier, are absent, always working, always at traveling, business meetings, coming back home late. And they don't really train or raise the boy child to be a man, while the girl child is constantly having more interaction, more time, more bonding time, more learning time with her mother. The boy child is just there watching TV and just coasting through life until suddenly after school, reality joy hits. You know that conversation where your father tells you, you know, now you're a man,
and
we can no longer give you pocket money like before.
And they've never had that talk with you all along where you're growing up. You know, you just suddenly, they just tell you that you're a man now. And they've never really had that conversation they should have had with you, you know, even where you were just, you know, born. But I'm glad that we've been able to, you know, highlight some of the challenges and, you know, provide solutions to the best of our knowledge of, you know, what men young men can do moving forward and how they can face manhood better. Now, on a final note, I'd like us to take this personal a little bit. What has been your biggest challenge so far as a man? You know, as a man, as a young man, what has been your biggest challenge so far as a young man? Are you single? Are you in a relationship?
I'm currently single, so
wow.
Why
is everybody? But it's fine.
How good do now? How good do?
It's fine. But go on. What are you biggest challenge so far as a man? You know, as a
my biggest challenge as a man is the fact that a lot of things were not clearly communicated to me in my transition to being a man. For example, nobody really teaches you how to sign a check, how to close an open check. Nobody really teaches you that in school. You are a man, you now go and open business, they now give you a checkbook. If you've not had any experience working under somebody who was signing and opening and closing checks, checks, you would never know that until you go to the bank and they now have to teach you. So it's a learning, it's a learning curve for everybody. So in that, you know, I'm just using that as an example. I'm saying now that it's an issue, and that's back to what we said earlier about men being expected to know everything about life. They expect that you know your way through life. So a lot of things I met in life, as it came as surprises. For example, the points where suddenly everybody expects that I should be making money, or the point where everybody feels that I should know how to treat a woman. Do you get? Some of these issues or some of these scenarios came as a shock or as a surprise. So there was, I had to learn by mistakes, which wouldn't be the case if I had learned by guidance or mentorship. The point is, we need to understand that men need to be shown the ropes. We need to understand that men need to be mentored. So let me give an example concerning relationships. Now, I'm currently single, but that doesn't mean I'm clueless. So, exactly. So I may not be able to tell you that this is the way to the promised land, but at least I know that I've tried some other routes, and this one, at least I can show you like 7 bad routes. I may not know the perfect routes, but I can. Oh. Yeah, I can tell you that this one will not work because I tried it and it did not work. Okay. So I'm going to tell you one of those. Issue or one of those things that didn't work concerning relationships. You see the issue of communication. Well, I had to learn the hard way concerning communication. This is just one of those areas in relationships. Nobody told me that you had to constantly be communicating back and forth, getting feedback, keeping the other person posted on your activities, and you know, generally moving minds. In my own opinion, I feel that how was your day? Fine. I didn't see the need to start talking plenty talk about that man now came and the man did not now come and the man did now he now left and did not now call back and did now he typically most guys bear witness that this is not our normal wiring to be talking all this plenty
like,
talk about
like it's our thing, it'll be our thing at all.
Exactly. So I had to learn the hard way that if you're going to keep a relationship with a woman, you have to be more communicative. And then another thing is, in terms of communication, I also learned that even when you are angry, you have to learn to talk politely without raising your voice. And now this cuts across to both genders. Nobody is expected to yell in an argument. Doesn't make sense. You have to learn to communicate and face the issues. But most guys have the tendency, she's talking, you are keeping quiet, then the thing will now build up, then you're not waiting, and what, you know, suddenly explode and you yell. Nobody actually showed me the ropes in terms of this kind of communication, that you have to learn to be open to communication and constantly go back and forth and learn to tame that excessive need to yell or raise your voice. I also had to learn that the hard way, that it doesn't work in relationships. Now, it also has to do with your partner. Some partners will accept it, but over time, you need to know that there are certain things that a woman is wired, for example, care, and love. Women respond more to that. Men respond more to service. For example, when somebody you come home and, oh, your house is clean, or somebody helps you to wash, you'd be like, ah, thank you very much. Women would rather do their own cleaning and whatever by themselves, but they just want a sign that you care, a sign that you're thinking about them. Again, it works better for them. So I'm saying that we need to learn. I'm a guy. There's no way I could have known what works for women without making mistakes, if because I wasn't guided. So I'm saying that the challenge is learning without guidance. I've been guided in some areas, but I'm saying that generally that has the areas I was not guided in are the areas that I had the most challenges. Office politics too. Knowing how to talk in the office and how people usually would set people up by bringing a conversation and they let you air your views, then they take that and use it to mess you up. Nobody really taught me that going into paid employment, you got a job, congratulations, work hard. You now are working hard, you now realize that beyond working hard, there's office politics. I didn't see that coming. I had to learn the hard way. So I'm saying that my biggest challenge has been going into unfamiliar, complex environments. And I've had to learn on the job. I had to learn in practice. Well, they say experience is the best teacher, but when you can learn without experience, please do, by all means, to save you time, energy, and it will help you attain things quicker than you typically
I
would.
mean, amazing, amazing. I don't know. I feel that for anyone who's going to listen to this at the end of this podcast, would definitely have a thing or two to gain from this. One thing that particularly struck me is the fact that the society assumed that men do not need to learn. Men need to figure things out by themselves. And this, we've said to this here that no, we do not need to learn everything by ourselves. We need to be guided. We need mentorship. And of course, we need people who are willing to guide us. And of course, we've been able to enjoy some of the successes, little successes we've enjoyed so far because of those who have been able to guide us and put us through. So, Nate, thank you very much for agreeing to do this with me. I hope that you could talk about that work ethics and workplace culture for men subsequently. What do you think about that?
Yeah, sure. I would be glad if you would have me have that conversation.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna do this again some other time, and I want to say thank you once again for doing this with me. Really,
Thank you for
all right,
having
have
me.
a great evening and enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you
All
too.
right.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Dear Single Men. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please like, comment, and subscribe. You can connect with Tayo Magex on various social media platforms, on Facebook and Instagram at Magic with Me Tayo.